Tonight's lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation. He says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through him also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For which two of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Last night, we read the Christmas story from the second chapter of Luke. And it says, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. I love those words. And when I imagine them, I hear them spoken in the voice of Linus from the Charlie Brown TV Christmas special. And I'm transported back to when I was a child, staring at my grandparents' TV. It was a color TV, which is why we were there. And I remember listening to the innocent, pure, and reassuring voice of another child, Linus. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. But even though so much about Christmas elicits joyful and warm memories, as the years roll on, for some of us, there's also a certain sadness, a melancholy that accumulates around Christmas, which is why I love a particular song from that Charlie Brown Christmas show. Christmas time is here, happiness and cheer, fun for all that children call their favorite time of year. Maybe you remember that. You know, the lyrics are happy, but the melody, the music, is so sad. And I get it. It resonates. It's because things in my life, and I'm sure things in your life, have changed. Certainly some of the change is wonderful. The birth of children and grandchildren, the launching of new careers and new adventures. But inevitably, time marches on, and changes occur that we don't welcome at all. Loved ones die. Sometimes marriages fall apart. Illness strikes. Children grow up. Things change. And the pain of losing a friend or a parent or a spouse or a child, the pain of being a victim of abuse or crime, is especially acute at Christmas. You know, I've been visiting a man over the last 6 months, a Vietnam veteran who is not a member of Christ the Vine, but he uses our food bank. I got to know him when he called the office one day, wondering if someone would come over and give him communion. Visiting recently, I asked him what he does for Christmas. He told me he braces himself for Christmas. After Vietnam, he went through a divorce. In more recent years, he lost his second wife and his youngest son. Last year, he lost a significant amount of money to a common scam that preys on lonely old men like him. For him, Christmas is tough. He has to brace himself. You know, all of us are affected by the changes and transitions of life that we often have absolutely no control over. We all grieve. And for a lot of us, our grief is heightened at Christmas. So here's some great news from John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, what does that mean? It means that God understands your struggles and sorrows and sadness firsthand, and He gives hope to you who grieve at Christmas. Here's how He gives hope. When God entered our world as a human being on Christmas morning, He experienced what we experience, the wonderful and the appalling. He joined you and me in our human experience. He laughed and wept. He loved and yet was hated. He forgave and yet was condemned. He was in all ways trustworthy, and yet was betrayed. He was God, and yet somehow, some way, also a man. He was God incarnate, God made flesh. And because he has experienced what you have experienced, and saw what you have seen, and felt what you have felt, he's the light that shines in our darkness, even in, especially in, our most bitter, coldest, and darkest darkness. When you pray, it's to a God who has suffered as you have suffered, and mourned as you have mourned, who has wished that things were different, just as you have wished. He has empathy for you. And this is why that's so important. It means that you're not graded on how weak or strong your faith is, or how sincere or insincere your repentance is. Jesus didn't come into the world and die on a cross to atone for your sins only if you believe enough, or repent enough, or show yourself holy enough. The only enough is that Jesus has done enough for you. He came to save the unrighteous, not the righteous, the people who are not good enough, the people who fall short by a mile, the people who can't save themselves. That's who he came to save. And that describes all of us. God has promised to never leave you or forsake you, has promised to make all things new, and has promised that all things, even and especially the rotten things in life, will work together for your good somehow. Emmanuel, God who is with us, has forgiven you, redeemed you, and reconciled you to himself. So this Christmas, when change or fear or sadness overwhelms you, find peace in this. Even when everything else changes, God stays the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And at the right time, he'll welcome you into heaven at the great reunion, where God wipes every tear from every face. You can count on it, because you were marked as belonging to Christ at your baptism, just as little Jackson Constein was marked today. You are loved and forgiven by God, today and always. Christ is born. Merry Christmas.